Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the 2023 Leapfrog Hospital Survey Town Hall Call. This is our third Hospital Survey Town Hall Call this year. So if you joined us for our sessions on April 13th or 27th, we will be sharing that same information. But happy to have you. Sorry we're getting started a couple minutes late today. I'm going to give everyone 30 seconds to join. I see more people coming on every second, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Again, thank you for joining us, and I apologize that we're starting a couple minutes late. Okay. Thank you again for joining us for our final 2023 Leapfrog Hospital Survey Town Hall Call. My name is Missy Danforth. I'm the Vice President for Healthcare Ratings here at Leapfrog. Really excited to talk to you today about our survey. A couple of reminders, as always, we do want to make sure you can access audio. You can do that either by using your computer audio or by joining by phone. If you're joining by phone, please make sure that you add in that participant ID, because later when we open the line for our live Q&A, it will allow me to unmute you so you can ask your question verbally. Throughout the presentation today, we are going to have a live Q&A using the Zoom Q&A function, so please reserve the Zoom chat for reporting technical issues only. As always, you can access the slides, the recording, and a transcript of the Q&A on our website at leapfroggroup.org /hospital. So probably the most important thing I'll show you today, which is where to find that Q&A box. If you bring your cursor to the bottom of your screen, you should get a Zoom toolbar. One of the icons in that toolbar should look like the one circled on the top of my screen right now. When you click that icon, a Q&A box will appear. You can type your questions, and we have several of our amazing help desk coordinators on today to answer those questions. Please remember that everyone on today's webinar will be able to see your question and see our answer to your question. So if you have a question that you would like to remain private, go ahead and submit that to our help desk at helpdesk@leapfroggroup.org. Following the presentation, as I mentioned, we will have a live Q&A. You'll need to raise your hand so I can unmute you. That's why it's important you put in that participant ID. But as a reminder, if we can't get the mute and unmute to work, or if your raise hand function isn't working, it's okay. You can ask as many questions as you want using that Zoom Q&A box today. So first, a little bit about our survey. For those of you who may not be familiar, we have an annual survey process that starts in August. And it's crazy to say that because it is May and August is right around the corner. But that's when our survey process for the upcoming year begins. We meet with our survey team, all of our national expert panelists, and we set goals for the upcoming year. We review the latest measures, changes to endorsement status of certain measures, consider member and hospital recommendations from the previous year, and really set out our plan for the upcoming survey. In November, we publish what we call proposed changes. It's an opportunity for you to review what we're thinking about, and we hold a 30-day comment period so you can give us some feedback. This year we got nearly 200 comments. It felt like over 200 comments, but we got nearly 200 comments. And we do this for our ASC survey as well. In January, we always hold a pilot test. People who participate in our pilot get a paper copy of the survey and track changes. You can see exactly what's changed. You also get a copy of our scoring algorithm that outlines any new scoring algorithms. And you're able to provide us detailed feedback on both the content, questions, measure specifications, FAQs, and scoring algorithms. We randomly select about 30 hospitals and health systems each year. Anyone can volunteer. We try not to pick the same people every year, so it gives all of you an opportunity to participate in the pilot if you're interested in doing so. In February and March, we start programming the online survey tool. The things that we're programming are a reflection of the comments that we got during that public comment period in November, the feedback that we got during that pilot in January. Every single comment is processed and considered before we start programming the online survey tool in February. In March, we publish what we call a summary of changes, and it allows you to see anything that changed from the proposed changes. So if November we said we're going to do one thing, in March you can see what we really decided to do. And again, sometimes it changes based on the feedback that we get from you all. And every year the survey launches on April 1st, even if it's Saturday, even if it's a Sunday, our survey launches on April 1st. The goals for the survey are audacious. We want to expand the survey every year to more and more hospitals and make sure that we're including measures relevant to different kinds of hospitals, including rural hospitals, and importantly, to leapfrog freestanding pediatric facilities. We want to keep the reporting burden as low as possible, and we do that by trying to align with other national measurement initiatives, such as the CDC's NHSN, CMS, the Joint Commission and their core measures, and national registries such as STS and the Vermont Oxford Network. We include cutting measures that actually improve the safety, quality, and efficiency of care delivered. It's very important to us that if you achieve our standard, that it's not just a rating on a website, that we know it means that the patients in your hospital are receiving better care. And our measures should reflect that. We maintain a consistent measurement structure, so you can actually use your survey results for benchmarking and improvement purposes. And that means that many of the cut points we use in scoring are frozen for 3-4 years, sometimes even longer. And then finally, and most importantly, we work hard to ensure that the survey results are actually used by employers, purchasers, and payers in value-based payment programs. It is one of the missions, one part of our mission at LeapFrog, is to make sure that higher performing hospitals are in some way rewarded. The survey this year includes 9 sections. And you might be thinking, wait a minute, I thought there were 10. When I go into the content and structural changes, you will understand. This year we have 9 sections. It starts with a profile that includes questions about contact information and other demographics. Section 1 focuses on basic hospital information. Section 2 is medication safety. Section 3 is adult and pediatric complex surgeries. Section 4 is maternity care. Section 5 is ICU physician staffing. Section 6 is patient safety practices. Section 7, managing serious errors. Section 8, pediatric care. And Section 9, outpatient procedures. We make a hard copy of the survey available on both a Microsoft Word document and a PDF. The reporting periods and questions themselves in the online survey tool match the hard copy of the survey exactly. So that means you should definitely be downloading either the Word or PDF version of the survey, reading every question, checking every reporting period, using the measure specifications, endnotes, and FAQs to answer the questions. Check the paper copy of the survey with your team, with your administrators. Make sure all of those answers make sense to everyone before entering it into the online survey tool and hitting that submit button. All 9 sections in the hard copy of the survey are organized in the same way. They start with an introduction to our standard. So what does it take to earn those 4 bars? That's then followed by reporting periods. And the reporting periods are specific to each set of questions. So there are multiple reporting periods in the survey depending on the type of question. There are the survey questions themselves, which often include endnotes, which should definitely be reviewed before you start answering them. And then every section is followed by an affirmation of accuracy. And this is where your hospital's CEO or administrator needs to attest to the fact that the information you're giving us is in fact accurate and correct. And then finally, we include reference information, including really important measure specifications, data collection and sampling instructions, answers to frequently asked questions, and other important information. And so if you are printing out and dividing up the survey so lots of people can help you, which is a great idea, make sure when you're dividing up those pages, you don't stop at the affirmation of accuracy. You keep going and include all of that reference information that's included in the hard copy of the survey. So now let's talk about submission requirements. We made a change for 2023. This year, you have to submit, and that means answer the questions and affirm. You have to submit at least Section 1, basic hospital information, as well as Section 2, medication safety, which now includes not only CPOE, but also barcode medication administration and MedRep. Section 4, maternity care. Section 5, ICU staffing. Section 6, patient safety practices. In Section 7, managing serious errors. So what's new this year Are we moved all, we consolidated all of the medication safety measures to section two. So now when you do section two, that will include BCMA and MedRec. And the other big change this year is that section seven is now a required section to submit a survey. LeapFrog's Never Events Policies is one of the things that we are known for nationally. It is one of the most important innovations in telling hospitals and surgery centers, these are the things we expect you to do if an adverse event happens to a patient while they're in your hospital. And so we want to make sure that hospitals aren't skipping that section. It's extremely important information, and it's required this year. Of course, we want you to submit all sections of the survey, not just these required sections. And in fact, if you're looking to be a top hospital, you have to submit all sections of the survey or you will not be eligible. If a measure or a section does not apply to you, don't skip it. Go in, look at the questions, say no to one of those first questions so you can be scored and publicly reported as does not apply. So for example, if you're a pediatric hospital, you don't deliver babies, don't skip section four. Click into section 4A, say, hey, I don't deliver babies. All of the rest of the questions will gray out. You'll be able to affirm and then go on to submit. Because we made this change and combined BCMA and MedRec into section two, the CPOE test, which is required for adult and general hospitals only, will now be available to you on the survey dashboard as soon as you complete your profile section, so earlier than ever. And in fact, one of my team members sent me a message today that almost 700 hospitals since April 1st have already taken their CPOE test. So it means you can find the button and all of this worked out. Some important deadlines I want to make sure I review with you. We've been told we have a lot of deadlines. As I was making these slides, I realized that that is true, but they are really important. And so I'm going to review them right now. If you have any questions about these deadlines, as I move through these slides, please go ahead and make sure you're using that Zoom Q&A to ask your questions. First, June 22nd, first deadline of the 2023 survey cycle. This is our first NHSN group deadline, and that means that we want you to make sure that you have joined our NHSN group by June 22nd, and we will use that information for Section 7B, healthcare-associated infections. In addition to joining our group, you'll also need to provide a valid NHSN ID in the profile section of the survey and submit the survey by June 30th for that infection data to be scored and publicly reported. But the first step and making sure that we're going to have access to that information is meeting that join by deadline. As a reminder, the day after that join by deadline is the day we actually pull down your NHSN data, and we ask that you do the same thing. So this year that will be on June 23rd. So we both have a copy of your infection data from the same day that we can use to make sure everything looks right. The first submission deadline is June 30th. Hospitals that submit the survey by June 30th will have their results publicly reported as soon as we refresh our public reporting website on July 25th. After July, the survey results are updated on the fifth business day of the month to reflect surveys that have been resubmitted or submitted by the first time by the end of the previous month. So say something happens and you missed that June 30th deadline, but I hope you don't, and you submit your survey for the first time in July. Your survey results will be scored and publicly reported within the first 5 days of August. But again, I really want to stress for you to meet that June deadline. It's a great opportunity to review your results, catch potential data reporting or data entry errors very early on, submit your corrections, and have your data finalized early before some of our other programs start coming into play. Hospitals that don't submit a survey by June 30th will initially be publicly reported as declined to respond until you go ahead and submit that survey. On July 12th, if you submitted your survey by June 30th, you're going to get a confidential opportunity to review your results on what we call the hospital details page. There's a button when you log into the survey dashboard that says hospital details. It gives you all of your scored results, but also includes your NHSN data for those five infections, your Vermont Oxford Network data, if applicable, and your CMS outpatient data for OP32, if applicable. It also includes some like intermediate scoring information that we don't publicly report, So take advantage of these opportunities, get those surveys in by June 30th, look at your results on July 12th before they're even publicly reported. And again, make sure all of those results match up to what you thought you were going to get when you were filling out your survey. On July 25th, when you go to ratings.leapfroggroup.org, those 2022 survey results will go away and the 2023 survey results will be displayed. And again, if you miss that June 30th deadline, you will initially see yourself as declined to respond. As I mentioned, we really want you to meet that June 30th deadline so you can see your results early in July. And if you find any errors, or if we find any errors, correct them before August 31st, because August 31st is a really big deadline. And it's a deadline in which all of your data needs to be final so that it can be used in our Top Hospital Award, which is a very prestigious designation that we give at LeapFrog to right around 100 hospitals a year. And it's also the date we use for the fall 23 data snapshot date. If you don't submit your survey for the first time until August 31st and something's wrong, we've already pulled that data to use in the safety grade. So that's why we really want to stress, please try to meet that June 30th deadline. If you miss the first deadline, miss the second deadline, your absolute last deadline to submit a survey, and the last deadline to resubmit your survey to reflect any performance updates on any of the measures is November 30th. On November 30th, the survey will close to new submissions and to resubmissions that reflect updates to performance. So if you initially reported on hand hygiene and you're some progress and you're doing a lot of things so that by November 30th, you can be scored and publicly reported as achieve the standard, you've got to remember to resubmit those responses before November 30th, or we will not take them. In addition, the CPOE tool will go offline at midnight on November 30th. So make sure you understand this very important deadline. January 31st is the corrections deadline. That means that hospitals that submit a survey by November 30th can use the months of December and January to correct data entry errors and to follow up on any of the data review messages that we send you as part of our extensive monthly data verification. At midnight on January 31st, the entire survey goes offline, and that means you can't access it and I can't access it. But again, today, the most important deadline to remember is June 30th. Because our survey results are used by patients and their families, purchasers and employers, health plans, and lots of other people, we have a lot of different protocols in place to make sure that the data that we're publicly reporting is accurate. That means that, as I said, your CEO or someone designated by the CEO has to affirm every single section of the survey before it can be submitted via the online survey tool. So 9 sections, 9 affirmations. When you are in the online survey tool, we've also built in some warnings, kind of like TurboTax, where we look for inconsistencies both within a section and between sections. So you'll see that when you're in the survey tool, after everything's been affirmed, you have to hit the button that says run data review warnings before you can hit submit. That's us checking for certain things. In addition to that, we do an extensive monthly data verification where our help desk reviews every single response that you submit via the online survey tool. We compare it to high and low normative values, other external data sources, as well as previous year's responses from your hospital. And if we think we see a data entry or reporting error, we email you. If you ignore some of our emails, you risk having your survey results be updated from a score, depending LeapFrog verification. We also do monthly documentation requests where on a random basis. We ask you to document that one of your responses were accurate. So for example, you say you meet all 9 elements of our never events policy. Great, send us your policy so we can see for ourselves. And then finally, we do virtual on-site data verification. We used to do on-site data verification. Then COVID happened, we went virtual. We decided to stay virtual for one more year as things are starting to settle down. If you are selected for virtual on-site data verification, you will know because you will get an email from LeapFrog prior to June 1st saying, hey, you've been selected for virtual on-site data verification. Lots of details available on our website about our data accuracy protocols. So what we're all here for today, I think, is what's new in 2023. The survey has been open now for over a month. As I said, almost 700 hospitals have already taken the CPOE test. The help desk has been buzzing. It is great. Today, I'm just going to review some of the key updates. It is not all of the updates. It's just some of the more important ones. If you want to know every single update, download a hard copy of the survey. So first, let's focus on some structural updates. As I described earlier, we did consolidate some sections of the survey to make it a little bit more efficient for you all, a little bit less confusing. That means that all of the inpatient medication safety measures are now part of section two. So section two now includes four subsections: CPOE, EHR application information, which is only for adult and general hospitals, BCMA, and MedRec. MedRec is also only for adult and general hospitals. We moved all the nursing, all the nurse staffing and skill mix measures also to a single section. So last year there was like section 6C, which was safe practice 9, and then section 6E as an elephant, which was nursing, nurse staffing and skill mix. This year we combined all the nursing measures into section 6C, nursing workforce. So that subsection now includes total nursing hours per patient day, RN hours per patient day, nursing skill mix, percentage of RNs who are BSN prepared, and NQF safe practice 9. As I already mentioned, and we know hospitals have found it, which is great, we will now let you get that CPOE test button. As soon as you complete the profile section of the survey, you don't have to submit section two. You'll be able to see that also in the online survey tool guide that we make available to help you navigate the tool. We have changed the location of the download CPT code workbook because a lot of people are having a hard time finding it. As hopefully many of you know, in order to report on outpatient procedures, you need to use CPT codes. The AMA requires us to ask you to accept their terms of use before you access the CPT codes. So this year, in order to access Section 9, you first have to accept the AMA's terms of use, and then you'll be able to download that CPT code workbook. You'll see the button right next to Section 9 on the survey dashboard. You only have to do the terms of use once per survey cycle, but every individual hospital has to do it. So if you're a health system, you download it once and someone in your central office uses it, every individual hospital will still need to accept the AMA's terms of use. And you'll see that when you click that button next to Section 9. Section 1, basic hospital information. The big change here this year is we are scoring and publicly reporting our new informed consent standard. Last year, we had a number of questions about informed consent in Section 1C. Only 6 of those questions from last year are being used in scoring and public reporting. And many of these 6 questions have been updated based on feedback that we received from you all, both in the public comment period and during the pilot test. So we have 1 question about policies and training. We have 3 questions about the content of your informed consent forms. And then we have 2 questions about the process that your hospital uses to gain informed consent. Your responses to these 6 questions will be scored, and that score will be publicly reported this summer. Some of the fact-finding questions from informed consent we decided to remove. So for example, we removed questions about written policies, offering patients the opportunity for a care partner to participate in the informed consent process, and the question about the use of high quality decision aids. So those questions are gone, you will not see them again. We retained, however, a handful of questions from last year that we moved to optional and fact-finding only. If you download a hard copy of the survey and you see in italics, optional for fact-finding only, we really mean it. You can skip those questions and you will still be able to affirm that section and submit the survey. The reason we wanted to keep some of these fact-finding questions is because we think they're important. They're certainly evidence-based and they may find a way into the standard and be scored and publicly reported in the future. But again, for the score this year, you only have to worry about those first 6. To achieve our informed consent standard, all of your forms need to be written at a sixth grade reading level or lower. You also need to say yes to all of our questions related to policies and training, content of informed consent forms, and the process for gaining informed consent. As always, there's a lot of opportunity to earn considerable achievement. And in fact, based on feedback we received during our pilot this year, you can earn considerable achievement if at least one of your forms, so if one of your consent forms is written at a sixth grade reading level or lower, and then you say yes to the remaining questions, you are able to earn considerable achievement. So a really nice alternative if you've started to work on reading level for those forms and haven't quite been able to update all of them yet. Section 2, medication safety. In addition to combining all of the measures related to inpatient medication safety into Section 2 and making that CPOE button available to you earlier, we also moved the platform last year. We did it in September after the big rush of survey submission. So many of you haven't seen the new platform. And that means we want all of you to take a sample test this year, even if you've taken the CPOE test 100 times before. In addition, we've made some content updates. We updated the test order library based on the latest published literature. We removed the drug allergy order checking category due to sustained high performance over multiple years. And we combine the drug dose single and drug dose daily order checking categories into a single order checking category named excessive dose. And this excessive dose category includes both single and daily dose testing scenarios. And that's because what we found last year is that depending on the clinical decision support system you are using, sometimes it was difficult to distinguish between single and daily dose warnings. So we've combined them into a single excessive dose category to make that a little easier for you. Although the number of test orders is decreasing because we removed those drug allergy orders, there's absolutely no changes to the scoring algorithm. A couple of important updates in Section 3, Adult and Pediatric Surgery. First, we are adding outpatient procedure codes to the bariatric surgery procedure. So if you remember, we actually did this a couple of years ago with total hip replacement surgery and total knee replacement surgery. We're on your way to meet our minimum facility volume standard and to determine if your surgeon meets our surgeon volume standard. We've allowed you for total knee and total hip to use inpatient cases and outpatient cases. Based on the recommendation of our national expert panel and the way that the field is moving, this year, you're also going to be able to report on outpatient bariatric surgery. So the volume standard will stay the same, 50 cases for the year for your hospital. We want included in your process for privileging surgeons that they have to do 20 cases a year. But you're not only going to be able to count your inpatient cases, you're also going to be able to count your outpatient cases. Again, you're going to need those CPT codes to accurately count outpatient cases. So go to Section 9, accept the terms of use so you can get that workbook. With this change to the hospital survey, we're also adding outpatient bariatric procedures to the LeapFrog ASC survey. And next year, the bariatric surgery volumes will be reported for ASCs as well, so that consumers will be able to compare that information side by side for all of the facilities that do bariatric on the same day surgery basis. The second thing we did in Section 3 is we updated the sampling instructions for the safe surgery checklist. There's a little bit of an increase this year in that if you are only reporting on Section 3 or you are only reporting on Section 9, which we don't want you to do, but say if you're only reporting on inpatient procedures or only reporting on outpatient procedures, you need to do 30 cases. If you're reporting on both Sections 3 and 9, then you can do 15 each. But last year we had some hospitals just reporting on inpatient surgery or just reporting on outpatient surgery. And so we did want to increase that a little bit, only for those hospitals. For hospitals conducting the audit to assess compliance with the safe surgery checklist, so you say you do it, now actually go make sure you are, we're adding a question asking if your hospital performed an inpatient observation, an in-person observational audit. So did you send people around with tablets or clipboards to make sure that all the elements of the checklist were being verbalized appropriately for every patient? Or did you do a retrospective audit of medical records? Or did you do some combination of both? The reason we're asking this question is we're going to be doing significant documentation requests this year because we have found a lot of gaps in hospitals saying, yes, we have a checklist. Yes, we do on every patient. And then actually based on the audit results, that's not occurring. So we'll be doing a lot of documentation review this year. So when you do your audits, make sure you save that documentation in case you're asked for it. Section 4, maternity care. Two big things here. First, we're adding some maternity care service questions to Section 4A. So it used to be called volume of maternity care volume. Now it's called maternity care volume and services because we've added some service line questions. The answers to these questions, because they're not being scored, so there's no four bar icon associated with your answers to these questions. We are reporting the yes, no's though this year, starting in July, because what we have found is that as important as C-section rate, DVT prophylaxis, episiotomy rate is to women and employers and purchasers and health plans, they also wanna know if you offer midwives, if you offer doulas, what breastfeeding support looks like. And what we've heard from women in particular is that they need more information to make the best decision about where to receive care. Because if they have the choice between three or four hospitals, and those three or four hospitals are doing pretty well on elective deliveries and C-sections and episiotomies, but what they really want to make sure they have is breastfeeding support, they need to know which hospital has that. So this service line information is going to be reported side by side with the scored maternity care metrics this year. We're building out some new functionality on our public reporting website so women can actually search for hospitals that have the services they need and want and then compare their quality ratings. We're also adding some optional questions related to stratified C-section rates. Again, if it says in italics over the questions, optional fact-finding only, we really mean it. If you skip those questions, you're still going to be able to affirm that section of the survey and submit the survey. But we are very interested, and our expert panel is very interested in looking at C-section rates stratified by race and ethnicity. So we're asking, if you can, to provide numerators and denominators for the NTSB C-section measure for each of the following racial and ethnic categories: non-Hispanic white patients, non-Hispanic Black patients, non-Hispanic American Indian or Alaska Native patients, non-Hispanic Asian or Pacific Islander patients, Hispanic patients, non-Hispanic other, and then unknown. The feedback we got during the pilot test is that some hospitals are already doing this for either US News and World Reports or the California Maternal Quality Care Collaborative. If that's the case, you can use those data when you respond to the survey, and we've made sure that we have instructions for you to do that. Moving on to Section 6, the really big change here is the change to these nursing questions. So for many, many, many years, as long as I've been in LeapFrog, we have had Safe Practice 9 on the survey. And what we have done under the guidance of a national expert panel is in 2021 and 2022, ask some additional questions about nurse staffing and skill mix. And this year we're making the leap and we are gonna be scoring and publicly reporting these measures. It includes total nursing care hours per patient day, which is an NQF endorsed measure. It includes RN hours per patient day, which is an NQF endorsed measure. It includes nursing skill mix, which is an NQF endorsed measure. And that means that the measure has been tested and found to be valid and reliable and appropriate for use in accountability programs, including public reporting and payment. The fourth measure, percentage of RNs who are BSN prepared, is not endorsed by the National Quality Forum, but is the strongest measure from the National Academy of Medicine's Future of Nursing report. And is the only of the four measures that has actually been tied in the research to reduce mortality in patients. All four of these measures will be scored and publicly reported on our survey results website, ratings.leapfroggroup.org. Only two of the measures, the first two, total nursing care hours per patient day and RN hours per patient day, will be added to the hospital safety grade methodology and the value-based purchasing methodology this year. So again, all four scored and publicly reported on our survey results website. So you will see 1, 2, 3, or 4 cell phone bars for all four of these measures on ratings.leapfroggroup.org. Only the top two measures, total nursing care hours and RN hours per patient day, will you see in the hospital safety grade methodology and the VBP methodology. So very, very important to note this. We've already gotten a lot of questions. If you have any additional questions about this, please go ahead and put them in the Q&A. With this change, we are only maintaining 5 of the former 17 NQF Safe Practice 9 elements. These 5 were selected by our national expert panel because the information is not directly captured through the other 4 nurse staffing and skill mix measures. Hospitals recognized as a magnet hospital or a 2020 Pathway to Excellence hospital will, as you have in the previous years, receive full credit for doing these 5 things. Otherwise, you will need to answer each individual question. The big change this year, however, is that Safe Practice 9 will not be scored and publicly reported as a standalone measure. So when you go to our public report website, you won't see Safe Practice 9 and then one of those cell phone bar icons. Instead, Safe Practice 9 is going to be used as a bonus for hospitals who are in the bottom performance category, meaning you've got limited achievement or 1 filled bar, a nurse staffing per patient day, nursing hours per patient day, RN hours per patient day, or nursing skill mix. It's basically going to bump you from limited achievement to some achievement. So what does that mean? It means that if based on your actual reported nursing hours per patient day or RN hours per patient day, you're going to be scored as limited achievement. If you are a magnet hospital, a 2020 Pathway to Excellence hospital, or say yes to these 5 questions, instead of limited achievement, you will get bumped up to some achievement. And that could really make a difference when we start assigning points to those performance categories for the purposes of the safety grade. So still important, but not scored as a standalone measure. For the purposes of calculating total nursing care hours per patient day and also RN hours per patient day, we are going to sum the total number of productive hours worked by employer or contract nursing staff across all medical, surgical, and med-surg units across all 4 quarters we're asking you to report on, and then divide by the total number of patient days. To calculate the benchmarks that we're going to use in scoring, which include the 50th, 25th, and 10th percentiles, we're going to first place you in one of 5 cohorts. In this way, you're only going to be compared to and scored against other hospitals who are just like you. The categories of hospitals we're going to put you in, or the cohorts of hospitals we're going to put you in, include small teaching hospitals, meaning you have fewer than 500 staff beds, large teaching hospitals, meaning you have more than 500 staff beds, non-teaching hospitals, pediatric hospitals, and critical access hospitals. We're going to get the staff bed information from Section 1 when you report it to us, and we're going to get your teaching designation from NHSN. That means if you don't join our NHSN group, you're automatically going to be put in that non-teaching category. I'm going to leave this up for a second so everyone has a chance to read through it. And again, if you have questions, please go ahead and enter them in the Q&A. For these new nursing measures, as I mentioned, we're going to put you in cohorts, then calculate the percentiles, and then score you against the percentiles. Because this is the first year we're scoring and publicly reporting, and we're going to wait till June 30th and use those submissions to calculate these cut points. So we'll update the scoring algorithm and republish it on or around July 12th. In the meantime, we published a benchmarking report on our website so you can see what these benchmarks are for each of the 5 cohorts based on the data that we collected in 2021 and 2022. Use the benchmarking report to get a signal of where you're at, the actual performance will be based on the cut points developed from June 30th surveys. To achieve our standard for total nursing care hours per patient day, as well as our RN hours per patient day, you need to be greater than or equal to the 50th percentile for your cohort. As you see here, that alternative path to some achievement on the right hand of my screen, where you're actually less than the 10th percentile, but you got full credit for Safe Practice 9. And this scoring is similar for total nursing care hours per patient day and RN hours per patient day. For nursing skill mix, where we're looking at the total number of productive hours worked by RN nursing staff, so basically total number of nursing care hours is the denominator, and then RN hours is the numerator. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to put you into one of these five cohorts and then use that June 30th data to calculate those scoring percentiles. You can also use your Safe Practice 9 performance here to give you a bump up if you're in the bottom performance category for this measure. There is no opportunity to use Safe Practice 9, however, for the percentage of RNs who are BSN prepared. This scoring is going to be based on a straight percentage. And just for your information, this measure is also included on the LeapFrog ASC survey, and the targets are the same. This target's been established by the National Academies of Medicine. That suggests that 80% of employed RNs should have a BSN degree or higher, as that could significantly impact patient outcomes, including mortality. So we've talked a lot about the survey, very important deadlines, major changes section by section. Now I want to talk about how those survey results are used, right? As I said, the most important part is you take the time to collect the data, we take the time to make sure that data is accurate, and then we get it out there to the universe so it can be used. So our purchaser and employer members use survey results, some of them literally printed out on physical paper and put it in open enrollment packets. That still happens today in 2023, reams of paper, because during open enrollment, they want their health plan enrollees to see safety and quality data for hospitals in the network. They also use the information to recognize and acknowledge hospitals and ASCs that achieve our national standards. One of our team members were just at the Greater Philadelphia Business Group on Health, where they had a great local recognition meeting, had hospitals and ASCs there, and it was a great opportunity to celebrate those that received our top hospital and our top ASC designation this year. They use the data to negotiate contracts with their health plan, including ensuring survey results are embedded in member tools. So when you go to a certain health plan's website and you're looking at hospitals and you see quality and safety data, it's often LeapFrog hospital survey results that you're seeing. They also make sure that that information is sometimes used in deciding on who gets a direct contracting arrangement. Healthcare consumers, patients and their families use our free public reporting website to compare hospitals and ASCs and find the best place for them to receive their care. Health plans, transparency vendors, and others from the industry that use our survey results in any way must license this data from LeapFrog. The revenue from our data license program is used to support the surveys and data dissemination efforts, and it's one of the ways we continue to offer this survey free to hospitals and to ASCs. If you haven't already done so, and I hope that's not the case, make sure you visit our website, ratings.leapfroggroup.org. As I mentioned, the 2022 survey results are up there now. 23 results will be live July 25th. When you go to our website, you can search for both hospitals and surgery centers by their name, location, the types of same-day surgeries they perform, or use our guided search function if you need a little bit more help to get where you need to go. This will be updated next year, or this summer, actually. What am I saying? This will be updated in July to include a special maternity care search so that people can actually search for hospitals that offer those maternity care services they're most interested in. As a reminder, if you don't submit that survey by June 30th, when you go here on July 25th, you will see that big red decline to respond. Our procedure search is something that's become one of the more popular aspects of our public reporting website. You can go here and find places who do the same day surgery that you need. That's why we collect all that volume data from you, so we know which procedures you perform and you can show up in our search results. People come here and they choose either an adult procedure in one of the surgical specialties in section 9 or a pediatric procedure. And then they can narrow their search results based on their location, such as a zip code. When they get their search results, they can choose up to 3 facilities to compare side by side. So in this case, I chose 2 surgery centers and 1 hospital. I could choose 3 hospitals. I could choose 3 surgery centers. Once I've made my selection, I can then compare their leapfrog hospital survey results. So here's those cell phone bars I've been talking about all day, side by side. And this is a great way for people to make decisions. So if everyone's doing a great job on anything, on everything, then maybe I decide based on how quickly they can get me in, or if someone can take me home that day. But being able to do this side by side comparison is exactly why people come to our website. We also use Leapfrog Hospital survey results to develop competitive benchmarking reports for you to use. Sometimes it's difficult if we have 30 measures on the survey and you have a smattering of 3 bars and 4 bars and 1 bar and 2 bars to tell your leadership team or your board, well, how did we do overall? The competitive benchmarking report is really designed to help solve some of those communication and messaging programs. We translate all of those 4-bar, 3-bar, 2-bar, 1-bar cell phone bar scores into numerical scores from 0 to 100. And that way we can actually do mathematical computation and analysis, and we can put hospitals into deciles for their overall performance on all of the measures on the survey. So if you're looking for a way to easily translate your performance on the survey to board, staff, leadership, the community, your cousins, the competitive benchmarking reports are a great way to do that. And then also, I'm sure many of you know, some measures, not all, some measures from the survey are used to calculate hospital safety grades, things like hand hygiene and CPOE. Lots more information about the safety grade on the safety grade website. And importantly, one of our most favorite things here at Leapfrog, we use survey results to identify the top performing hospitals and award them a Leapfrog Top Hospital Award. We have a really fun in-person awards dinner and ceremony in Washington, D.C. For the past couple of years, it's included top hospitals and top surgery centers. A lot of healthcare industry folks come. Our employer and purchaser members are there. Our board is there. It's a great opportunity to celebrate organizations who have excelled at patient safety and quality. We do a national press release. We put stuff out on our website and social media. And it is, to me, one of the best things that we do is reward you for being safe and high quality. Also, since last year, survey results are used in a new national media partnership with the digital platform money.com. They use our ratings to educate their readers, not only about financial literacy, but healthcare literacy. They have a list of best hospitals and best surgery centers, including best hospitals for maternity care. You can go to their website and see some of those lists now. In order to be eligible to be featured on one of these lists, you've got to submit the survey. And then finally, with our last couple minutes, I want to make sure that you have everything you need to get ready for 2023. If you don't have your 16-digit security code, please submit a security code request today. Do not wait until June 29th. Make sure you have that security code. Please download all of the survey materials we make available to you. In addition to the hard copy of the survey and the scoring algorithms document, which are a must to download, we have workbooks, reference materials, data collection tools, worksheets, all kinds of things to help make data collection and survey participation a little bit more organized, a little bit easier. So please make sure that you go to our website, download all of those materials and use them. When you get your paper copy of the survey and you're reviewing the measure specs and the reporting periods and answering the questions, we always urge you to make sure you have the scoring algorithms document next to you, so you know exactly what your score is going to be based on the responses. It's great to do this before you ever hit that submit button, and that way there's no surprises. It's also a really good way to identify if you made a data entry or reporting error once your results become available to you, either on July 12th on that hospital details page or July 25th on the public reporting website. So for example, say me and my team fill out the paper copy of the survey. We use the scoring algorithm so we know 4 bars for this, 3 bars for this, 4 bars for this. We enter everything into the online survey tool, hit submit. July 12th, I'm the first one to log in, look at my details page. Wait a minute. This says that we have 1 bar. When we were doing this together, we thought we were going to have 4 bars. What's going on here? Oh, I entered 10 and I meant to enter 100. Looking at those scored results and comparing to them to what you thought you were going to get is a great way to catch data entry errors. There are so many keystroke errors that are caught just by scoring yourself and then comparing it to your publicly reported results. So just take the 10 or 15 minutes, do that exercise. It really pays off. We have so many resources to help you be successful. We have some free ones and we have some not free ones. For the free ones, we have an amazing help desk. It is staffed from 9 to 5 Eastern time. Help desk tickets are responded to within 1 to 2 business days. But if you've ever submitted a ticket to the help desk, you know that we are overachievers and we often respond even faster. You can submit 1 ticket. You can submit 100 tickets. Ask the question and get the answer before you enter your data into the survey. It's always tough if we're sending out data review messages and then having calls with hospitals. And like, oh yeah, we said that because we weren't sure. Ask the help desk if you're not sure. We offer these free town hall calls. As I said, this is the third one to give you a lot of opportunities to hear information from us and ask questions for an entire hour. We have these great case studies that we publish on our website to give you examples of how other hospitals have achieved our standards so you don't have to start from scratch. And then we make available a LeapFrog survey binder, which you can use to collect, organize, and record information that you use to complete the survey. It's a great opportunity to use the binder to maintain all of your documentation in case you're selected for one of those random monthly documentation requests. And as a reminder, this year, we're going to do a big focus on Safe Surgery Checklist. We have 2 paid resources. So if you look at all of our free resources and you say, that's just not enough, I'm brand new to the survey, I'm overwhelmed, I need more support, we have a monthly webinar series. It's held from March to December. It's designed for hospitals who need more interaction related to the survey materials. Every month, we do a deep dive focus into a particular topic, like just nurse staffing, just CPOE test, just billing ethics. We do a live Q&A, but we also hold separately 30 minutes of office hours every month where you can show up every month on Zoom, interact with one of our help desk coordinators, and ask your questions live. And that means you, on a monthly basis, you have a regular interactive touch point with LeapFrog throughout the survey cycle. So if you have a question, you know that month you're going to have 2 opportunities to interact with us basically in person because it's through Zoom and get answers to those questions. You will never miss a deadline. You will basically become the in-house expert for LeapFrog in your organization. If you are from a health system, this is happening more and more, responsible for doing 10 surveys, 20 surveys, 100 surveys, or chasing down people for that data, or manually entering all of this information into a giant spreadsheet so you can track it and do analysis, we've created a health system support subscription where we send you on a regular basis Excel files of survey responses, survey results, safety grade data, all of that in an easy to understand Excel file for all of your hospitals in one place. So you can do analysis, do comparisons, identify outliers. If you do the health system support subscription, you also get a seat at our monthly webinar series. It's really beneficial if you're doing this for 5, 10, 15, 20 hospitals. Tons of information on our website, and you'll be able to get to that link when you download these slides later. Then finally, thank you so much for joining us today. I do apologize again for starting late, but we finished. We have a couple minutes left if you want to raise your hand and ask a question. In addition, we'll keep that Zoom Q&A box open. If you have a question today that you really didn't want to ask in front of everyone, you can also contact our help desk. I'll leave this URL up and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. So I'm going to stop talking, give you a chance to either ask more questions in the Q&A, or if you want to go ahead and raise your hand, I can take you off mute. Okay, I don't see any hands raised. I don't see any more questions. Thank you all again. Oh, I do see one hand raised. Leslie.
Can you hear me all right now?
I can.
Okay, so quick question. For the nursing measures, why are we using the NAM as the resource? Why not a nursing resource?
For the fourth measure?
For the sixth, for the workforce, yes, workforce.
So three of the four measures are developed by the ANCC. Mm-hmm. The fourth measure does come from the National Academies of Medicine, but our understanding is that all four measures are actually collected now and have been for many years through the National Nursing Quality Database, NDNQI. So our understanding has been that while these nursing measures are new to the LeapFrog survey, they're not new generally. In some cases, they've been around for 10 or 12 years.
I agree with you. They're not new. Okay. I'm just wondering why you would select a NAM resource instead of a nursing professional practice one. That's my question.
Yeah. And so again, the only NAM measure is that percentage of RNs who are BSN prepared. And the only reason it was selected is because of the significant link between that particular metric and patient mortality and hospital mortality.
Yeah, and that's kind of my concern. I just was hoping it would be a National Nurses Association and not from the medical practice. I would assume the same in reverse. It was medicine versus nursing. Anyway, that was my question. Thank you so much. Probably more of a comment than a question.
Okay, thank you, Leslie. That's helpful. Other questions? I'll be able to see your hand if you use the raise hand function. And again, we'll also keep that Zoom Q&A chat box open. I was late, so I'm going to give you one extra minute. We're about 2 minutes over, but I'm going to just give you one extra minute if there's any last question. Okay. Thank you all again today. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for giving us an hour of your time. Thank you for your continued participation in the LeapFrog Hospital Survey. Tell us if you need anything, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Thank you.